Ohio. Right? Uh-huh. I don't. Right?
Oh, that's our opening salvo. Just out the gate being like,
Jeff,
people right? are going to think what you know it? Japanese phrases.
Nah, yeah. I don't want them to think that. Greetings, fellow anime enthusiasts. It is I, Sarah, joined by Joe, and we make up the podcast Shoujo, where we talk about shoujo anime, mostly me, Sarah, showing Joe shoujo, hence the name and the spelling and all that. Pretty brilliant, am I right?
Yeah.
Such a good name. Yeah.
Is this where I Yes, it's brilliant. If only yes. we thought of it.
Yes, my sister gets the credit for that. it was just right there and I didn't see it. So that's us. And today we are covering a new anime series, Chihaya Furu, which I think is technically Jose and not Shoujo, but it's not like Jose in a mature way, really. I don't know why it's categorized as that. Well, Jose is like more for women, where Shoujo is for like kind of girls, like young girls, young adult. And Jose, I don't know. A lot of the smut is Jose tagged. So yeah, I guess there's some clean ones apparently, and this is one of them.
So it's close like a enough. Pretty overlapping. Yeah, so they overlap. Yes. In it seems like relatively targeted. Mundane ways.
Yeah, it's just the themes, I guess. Typically it's more like, whereas Shoujo is like school life or magical girl and youth, Jose is like you're an adult and like real life. Like, I don't know, it's a lot of like office work spaces and or like serious drama or, you know, things like that or that make up.
I'm reading the Wikipedia sense. Page.
OK, yeah, maybe you can provide a more clear.
This says on the Wikipedia page for Jose manga. It says the term originated by critics and academics in the late 90s to determine or to distinguish all manga aimed at adult women from shoujo manga. While not commonly used among general Japanese audiences, is a term most commonly used by Western audiences to describe this category of manga. So it is a academic distinction, I guess, more so than an actual like difference in marketing, it seems like.
Sure.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, like, because, you know, like Western cartoons tend to have a tendency to either be for children explicitly or for be adults explicitly. Right.
Yes.
Like there is very little in between of like SpongeBob and Family Guy. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas like anime is all in between that stuff. I mean, I guess comics is a little bit different because you have superhero comics that are both obviously for kids and then like more adult gritty ones. So there's like a bit of a transition point there as well.
Yeah. So a anyway. Bit more fluid.
So I should be expecting some like real hot scenes. Chihaya Furu is what I'm saying. I should expect some someone's going to get decapitated and seen in like episode 10. God.
Yeah. Someone like hits the card too hard and just slices their opponent.
Yeah.
No. I don't know why. It's almost a sports anime, honestly. And it just has the other stuff sprinkled in. So it's kind of a bizarre labeling, but we're counting it. We're covering it. So either you've been listening to us up to this point and you kind of are just like, yay, another fun adventure with Sarah and Joe. Or you're new and hopefully you're still here and
hopefully you didn't bail out at the 5-minute mark.
Yeah.
As we give some really interesting conversation about the distinction between, I guess, marketing terms.
Yes.
Or in this case, academic terms, more or less.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how I would describe our podcast, but I guess I am the airhead of the podcast and Joe's the one with like
you're the expert. You know all this. You've seen these shows. You're not the airhead. You're the one who knows things.
I have seen the show and I have been the targeted demographic, but I don't look at things as critically as you do. Or like you don't, I don't ponder things as deeply. So like we get both kind of like
you ponder. You know, just, I don't believe this.
Okay. Well, I like to, I don't know. Well,
you, I mean, I'm a big nerd. So it'd be like, oh yes, the academic study of whatever the hell, because that's just who I am now. Cause I went to grad school, but I don't, does that make it better? Does that make for better conversation? I kind of feel like it's exhausting. So
I'm just saying,
I'm thinking
we've got it all.
You've got it all. We've covered the two ways you can enjoy a thing by having actual joy in enjoying a thing, and me, who has to like read everything through a lens.
Yes. But yeah, so if you're just here for shits and giggles or for like looking closer at things, we're the podcast for you in either case. And so typically we do our intro here, and then now we'll do a little catch up, just some gal pal in here.
Mm-hmm. You know, since
Joe and I do not get to hang out IRL because we do not live anywhere remotely close to each other. So this is like our big friendship.
In the first segment, Sarah gives us an update on the Texas weather. How is it?
Yes, normally I'm bitching about how hot it is. But
this week? How's this week?
It is getting better. Like, and it's still kind of, and this is typical of Texas, where it's like, oh, now it's chilly in the morning and evenings, but still hot. And well, like the sun is burning you if you're wearing a jacket midday. But we're like getting closer. I'm just really hoping this is for real the start of our fall. In my mind, Texas has summer and winter, and that's it. And it's not evenly split. But yeah, so like you know, it was like 60 when I went to the dog park this morning, and it was lovely. I just had to stand in the shade, but it was lovely, lovely weather.
Good.
Yeah.
Finally be outside for a couple of hours.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll still get sunburned. It doesn't matter how cold it is.
So it can only get so much better. We need the sun not to be out.
Well, now I can like turn. Now that I don't have the ferrets anymore, it's like just me, the two dogs, and the cat. We're gonna see how long we can go with no AC or heater on, just because the ferrets were so temperature sensitive. But now I'm like, look, we can just snuggle for warmth and save a buck in the winter. But so there's the weather report from yours truly.
How else has it been going?
Good. Last weekend So I'm the maid of honor for my sister, who's getting married in about a year. Ooh. And we went to try on some wedding dresses, or she went to try some wedding dresses, and I accompanied her. And she looked freaking incredible in every single one. So she's got her work cut out for her, like narrowing it down. Took a lot longer than I thought. I was like, oh, this is going to be a few hours, and then I'll get back and play some Dragon Age or something. But it was like all day endeavor. And she hasn't picked one yet, so I have a feeling I'll be doing that again soon. Let's see. I gotta learn to like fluff. I don't know what the floof. I'm like in charge of the train of the dress, I guess. Like making it look good in all the photos and stuff. So I gotta be practicing. You know, it makes me think of in elementary school when they had that like rainbow circle tarp that everyone like flaps to make it all wavy and like someone goes under it. Do you remember that? Did you guys play that at your,
like with the big parachute thing?
Yeah, the parachute, that's the word. Yeah,
you're gonna be doing that?
That's what I'm imagining it's gonna be like.
I don't think you're supposed to use quite as much force.
Yeah, no. Well, it depends what kind of length we're looking at on the train, but yeah, that's been it. Really, Dragon Age, I've like slowed down drastically because I think I feel it. The end is near and I don't really want it to be over. So I'm like slowing down on that. But Love Island Australia is going, so I'm super happy about that. And I think so. Nothing like super life changing.
Life altering. Did you watch any anime?
I watched Chihaya Furu.
Yeah, of course. Good.
Let's see. I feel like I just tried. Okay, I watched like the first three episodes of Kaiju number 8.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
Not interesting. You don't like that he's old.
No, he's like our age. Don't call him old.
I hate that.
No, I don't hate that.
He's old for like a Shonen Jump protagonist.
Yes. Well, I feel like it's hard because Shonen, it like a lot of them follow the same formula. So it's like, I feel like I've seen this before, you know, just with like different looking characters. Not that I've.
Do you want to give like a brief summary of it just in case someone's ever heard of it before?
Sure. Okay.
Off Sarah's the dome. Really let's good go.
At summarizing.
5 sentence summary.
Really. Okay. Kaiju number 8. It's like this world where kaiju, which is that just the Japanese word for monster?
Yeah. Or, it's like a genre of like big monster
stories.
Yeah. It's
like Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's other ones.
So it's like a world. There's like a mil. I don't know if it's government or. There's a military force that takes care, like takes out these kaiju, and I guess they just pop up randomly. So it's like, dang, you gotta have renter's insurance or you're gonna get wrecked. But like when they destroy these kaiju, they like explode and their guts get everywhere. And so our protagonist works on like the cleanup crew where they like clean all the disgusting bits of the kaiju, but I guess he's like been whining to be one of these officers but hasn't passed the test, blah blah blah. Something weird happens and this disgusting little kaiju like crawls into his mouth, gross, and then like he turns into a humanoid kaiju, and I guess he's gonna be like, I'm special and I can be in the force as a kaiju to fight kaiju, blah blah blah, is what I'm assuming. I have not watched very much of it.
It's a lot, setting wise. Do you ever watch Pacific Rim?
Yeah,
it's similar Pacific to that. Pacific Rim, have like the cleanup.
Yeah, room. The music rules. Okay, Pacific Rim, so good. So I tried that. I was gonna try Dan to Dan or whatever, just because someone keeps telling me to try it, but I'm like, it's gonna be weird, isn't it? I don't like weird. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, what do you think is gonna be weird about? Like, is it like the supernatural stuff?
Yeah. Well, okay, because I feel like if it's based off Japanese lore, I feel like those creatures are always so scary or freaky looking.
Yeah, I mean, they're monsters.
Yeah, I know, but they're not. Well, I think I don't know.
Sound like a Dracula.
It's easier route for them to take those gross ones out than if it was like a cool beast.
They don't fight like Wolfman yet, so I don't know if they're going to.
Joe, have you watched Wolf's Rain?
I've not watched Wolf's Rain.
You need to watch it. It's so good. It's so good. Sorry, that just came to mind. Okay. Anyways, Joe, how about yourself? What have you been up to? Watch anything?
I feel like I've been super busy. So my parents came to visit me last week. They were in town for several days, and we went and did a bunch of stuff, and that was pretty fun. It's kind of cold here, so there was some stuff that was not as easy to do, like going outside and doing stuff was not as good, which is, you know, a thing that's like pretty fun to do Columbus, but you know, couldn't do that much. So it was a lot of staying inside and eating, which is pretty good, except I'm not a big food guy. So for me, it was a lot of staying inside and drinking, which is also pretty good. So that was most of my week. I did get the chance to, I did watch an anime. I finished watching Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which is the
trigger
show in the universe of Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, it came out alongside that game in order to get people interested in the game after the release was pretty rough. It's on Netflix.
Did you play the game?
It was pretty good. I did not play the game. I have no interest in that game. I do not like open world games. I think open world games are bad most of the time. So I was not very interested. That being said, I do kind of like the setting. One of the problems with that game, like when I watch, like I watched some friends play it and stuff like that. The humor in that game is not really my deal.
Everything's very dark and like, I don't know, violent and sexual. And
yeah, it's really violent. It's a lot of like really, I feel like on the nose and kind of not that interesting sex jokes. You know what I mean? Like you could tell good sex jokes. I think these are pretty lame. So I was not super into the game. The show, on the other hand, does not do that nearly as much and is much better. But like the thing with the show. OK, so the show follows a kid named David. He has bad things happen to him and he kind of ends up on the street. And so he ends up hooking up with this group of edge runners, which is like the term for more hackers. Or less mercenaries. Yeah, they're like mercenary hacker groups. Right. So some of them are hackers. Some of them are like enforcer types. He acquires a like future tech thing. So in the world of cyberpunk, everybody is like cybernetic, right? So you can get like implants in your head. You can also get like, you can replace your limbs with machinery, which can let you do things. He gets one that lets him move very fast. Like almost clock stopper kind of fast, where it's like all of a sudden you're here and then all of a sudden you're there. Which is cool. The animation on that looks really cool. And so it's basically just a story about him traveling with this crew and then the things that happen. It's a Trigger, a Studio Trigger thing, I'm pretty sure. Let me make sure that that's actually correct. I'm pretty sure that's right.
I've watched about half of that.
Of the show, of Cyberpunk? Or?
Yeah, there's like a couple girls that are popular cosplay characters. Yeah, the anime. The one with the pigtails and then the chick that hangs out with David the most that introduced him.
Oh, Lucy and Rebecca. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Not Kiwi, the one that I like who has the weird mouth.
No, probably not that one. Okay. But I mean, his jacket is cool.
Yeah, the fashion's pretty cool. I mean, you know, I like futuristic. Like, I like this kind of setting. The genre, I mean, it ends up being kind of tragic and like a bunch of other stuff happens. It has the everything that Trigger makes always has this thing for me where like, you know, the action's really good because they animate action really well. But like there's something about the story that makes me just wish they did more. Like I'm always just watching these shows and being like, man, I wish they like did more with this and like really explored more of the ideas here than what it is, which is usually like just ends up being like a fairly straightforward action show. But that being said, it's a good, straightforward action show, and it's very colorful and it's extremely violent.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I feel like cyberpunk is not a world that's like
it's
how do we get to that point where everyone's so desensitized to everything? Yeah, like
it's like God.
Playing that game, the number of dildos is insane.
Yeah, like it's
in that game.
Cyberpunk, why? Like as a like the vibe of it is closer to Mad Max than like Blade Runner. You know what I mean? Like setting is like Blade Runner, but the vibe and like the way people act is way closer to Mad Max, which I think feral. Is interesting.
Yeah.
But it's not my favorite type of sci-fi aesthetic feeling. What it evokes, that kind of thing. But it's still pretty good. You know, it's only like 10 episodes, so it's on Netflix. You have to have Netflix for that. And, you know, pretty good. So that's what I watched. Pretty solid.
Nice.
Other than that, not doing that much, you know. I'm catching up on behind on stuff. I have to make a bunch of dishes for a Friendsgiving later today.
You said you had your mom read a manga. How did that go? Did she like it? Was she confused by anything?
Oh, I mean, she was just reading the first. Like, I was showing my mom because she was interested from the previous.
Because she's a big old anime fan now.
So she'll, like, check it out at Barnes & Noble or whatever. and, you know, you read that right to left and, like, down diagonally the other way. So I let her read some of the Witch Hat earlier. Manga just to kind of get used to reading it in that direction. And, you know, it seems fine. It's just a thing you need to get used to. So
is your mom gonna buy Skippy the manga? She can get the entire set. Okay. Do you tell her she can read online?
I did not.
Okay. She wants to know what happens with Kyoko.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. I got my stepdad, I think I was like 14, I got my stepdad to read Gak and Alice, and he was like, what the hell is happening? And he'll still reference it, like that punching teddy bear from that one thing, and because that one has a lot of like little author like scribbles, like context scribbles, but they're so tiny, like it's hard for someone with not the best vision to read. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun that they're willing to try. Check them out.
Yeah, always try to get your family members to engage with stuff you like, I guess.
Yeah, that's ideal. Let's see. Do we want to roll into our new series? The show? Yeah, I think so. You've got a lot of...
Do you have like a little blurb you want to say, or do you want me just to roll into the my blurb about the production of this?
I first watched this. I watched it when it first came out, and I was absolutely enchanted by it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the best thing ever. So I had never watched a sports anime, but like something about sports anime just like evokes excitement, like you're rooting and like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? And so it's like really fun to watch it. I think it came out in 2013, maybe the first season, but I'm sure Joe will have the details on that. But yeah, it's just been a favorite anime, one of my top animes since I first watched it over 10 years ago. So that's what I've got to say about it. Very pretty art.
Yeah. So you read this?
No, I haven't read it, actually. Yeah, I've never seen it for, well, I try. And like, if it's something I would buy, I don't want to read it online. So I haven't, but also I have never seen it available for purchase. But yeah, I should. But also I should like not spend all my money on manga. This balancing act.
Easy to do.
yeah, you saw it firsthand. I did. So many books. Ohio has all the manga for some reason.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's all I got.
All right. So here's what I got. So Chihayafuru, the anime, or I guess I could talk about the manga for a second because I just happened to look this up. The manga was first published in 2007 and spanned up to 2022. It appeared in the manga magazine Be Love and is created by Yuki Tsutsuga.
Be Love sounds like Boys Love. Boys Love magazine. Yes,
but it is not that. The anime, season one, came out in 2011 and it spanned to 2012. So... it was the first 25 episodes. There are three seasons of it. I guess it's with some gaps in between it. So season two. So they're all 25 episodes. So there's 75 total episodes. Season two showed up basically immediately afterwards. So that was 2013 is when that aired. And then season three aired in 2019 and went to 2020. So pretty large gap.
Yeah.
Between season two and season three, which seems to be a common theme in the show, because Kimi no Sinoke also the had genre. A huge gap.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe these companies only have a tolerance for so much shoujo, and then, or they are like waiting for enough of a fan base to grow to then release another season. I don't know. It gives me hope that maybe there will be another season of these shows in the future, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, so the anime was from Studio Madhouse, which does a lot of stuff. You've probably heard of them. They've been active since the 70s. They did Ninja Scroll. They did Perfect Blue. They did Death Note. They did Cardcaptor Sakura. They did the original Trigun. They did the 2011 Hunter x Hunter. Most recently, they've done stuff like Free Ren. So they're, you know, big production studio, has a lot of stuff. The director for this series, or the person who's credited as the director for the whole thing, essentially, whereas like often individual episodes can be directed by other people, but I guess you have like one chief director, is Morio Asaka. He appears to be like a pretty long stay with Madhouse. So he has directed things or is credited as like the chief director of stuff, including Cardcaptor Sakura, basically Woo! All of it.
Yeah.
My Love Story, Ace of Diamond, all of Nana, Monster, things of that nature. So quite Love a bit of stuff that we will Sakura. Probably. Yeah, we will probably and get Nana. To some of those.
Yeah, Nana's another Jose for sure. Definitely more suited for that genre association than Chihaya Furu, but get it, Morio Asaka. Give me all the good stuff.
Yeah, so quite a bit, according to IMDb. So good stuff.
Yeah. I like Skip B, where it's a bunch of random people. Like, it seemed like who Skip B yes. was the height this of their career.
This is the benefit of having a studio that sticks around for a long time, is that you can have people that have long careers at it, and so they can touch a bunch of different stuff. I mean, the other, you know, the other shows we've had. Who did Angelic Layer again? I don't remember.
I feel like you said it was it not?
Weren't they also another big one?
It was like a Bone or something.
Oh yeah, Bone Studio Bones. Yeah. They did a lot of stuff. Yeah. So we're gonna run into the same studios over again. So far, I don't think we've had any repeats.
Nope. But that's because we're trying to keep it with some variety.
We are not purposely doing that. Believe it or not, we are not paying a lot of attention to the production studio when we decide what we're going to watch next.
Yeah, Joe's the only one who pays attention to that.
Listen, it'll start paying off when we get some repeats, when we get some of the same people here. We could talk about how they, I don't know, maybe we're going to find, we'll watch Chihaya Furu and then we'll watch Nana and be like, ooh, this guy really likes this kind of, well, I guess it's not written by the same person, but, you know, camera shots. I don't know what the director does.
I was going to say, like, what does the director do within animated series? Like, in my mind, they're just the person who, like, coordinates and then watches things unfold and then either gives a thumbs up or thumbs down, but
yeah, it seems maybe we should go into this at a later point. When I look at the Wikipedia for animation director, they just kind of are in charge of the aspects of the animation process, which I can't tell if that's like an administrative job more than like how like a creative job, right? So I assume that they're involved in like storyboards and stuff, but like who knows, maybe they really are just doing a bunch of logistics all the time.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll look into that later. I'll look into that later. That can be my homework. Anyway, so for this show, we watched the first two episodes. We're going to cover two episodes for as long as we think we can do that. If we think we can get away with three, then we will start doing three. But at the moment, we're going to do just the first two.
Yes, I watched all three.
Oh, you watched the third one? Cool.
Yep, it's fine.
Well, you can just sit on that. I can.
Yep. Yep. But to start, we've got episode one.
Episode one of Chihaya Furu is called Now the Flower Blooms. We love titles like this. I feel like Skippy had similar titles declared in sentences. Like, this is happening now. And then this happens. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we open on a high school. We learn that a new student there is the younger sister of a model, and the model's name is Chitose Ayase. Some boys are eager to meet her and see a mysterious flyer that says, "Let's start a competitive karate club." We see the beautiful transfer student grab the flyer, and then she stands on a chair and starts to hang it up on the bulletin board. She seems a little weird because she's wearing a skirt over her track pants. And a teacher gets mad at her because she's like, "I told you not to wear," but she gets mad at her. She's like, "Why are you wearing a track pants and a skirt?" And this chick is like, "Well, you told me not just to wear a skirt if I'm standing on a table or whatever, or a chair." She's like, "Okay, but like, don't wear the skirt over the track suit." It's like a whole back and forth thing, right?
Go ahead.
She's a weirdo. Yeah, she's kind of weird. Kind of weird, maybe a little airheady.
Doesn't care what other people think.
Yeah.
On a mission.
Anyway, we get the OP.
I think she's a first year, so that's why she's a new student. Not that she's a transfer student. She's just, so she's probably a transfer student. 15?
Yeah, that's their first year.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Let's see. So we jump back after the OP plays. We learn that this girl is our main character. Her name is Chihaya Ayase. She's very disappointed that nobody came to join a karate club, which we have not explained yet, but that is the card game that we're going to be playing in this show. Her friend tells her to just join the track team instead because she was good at it before in like middle school. But Chihaya just says that she was just doing that to meet people and she doesn't really care about that. She's super bummed out because she wanted to focus on Karuta in high school, but can't because she doesn't have anybody to play with. She kind of just like lazes around and doesn't really do much. But we're eventually introduced to her childhood friend named Taichi. He tells her that her nickname is Beauty in Vain because she doesn't do anything, mope around because she can't play this card game.
Well, she's listening to the poems being read. That's what she was listening to on her little iPod.
Okay. So that's part of the game. I have a section where I explain how the game's played in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And Taichi, yes. I don't remember who, but his voice actor was in one of our other series.
Mm. I'll do the voice actors a little bit later on in the series.
Mm-hmm.
She's excited to learn that he went to her high school because she thought he was going to go to a different high school. So she's excited that he's here. He clearly has a crush on her and she is acting like super familiar with him, which makes him blush. While waiting for the train, he gets a phone call from his girlfriend. Chihaya figures out that he has a girlfriend and is shocked. Taichi tries to be nonchalant about it, but Chihaya is mostly bummed because if he has a girlfriend, he probably won't play Karuta as seriously. Because this is her
poor
whole
girlfriend.
Life.
He's dismissive of his girlfriend.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend, but I'm just dating her because like a thing to do, you know?
Yeah, she asked me out.
He does not come across well in these episodes, particularly.
No, he doesn't. Nope. No. Also, Karuta is how I say it. But Karuta. Yeah, I don't know. Well, somebody tell us we're right or wrong. Okay. Anybody.
I mean, I could just pronounce it.
Well, I don't have the best track record of actually pronouncing things correctly.
Yeah, I mean, we can say whatever. They know what they're talking about. Okay. So at this point, we get just a flashback that lasts the next two episodes. So we go into flashback
mode now. It like doesn't, there's no visual like implication that we're in a different time. It's just cuts to her being a kid.
Yeah, it's just they're on the train. Chihaya's bummed out because Taichi probably isn't going to play Karuta anymore. And then all of a sudden, it's like she explains that 3 years ago, she got into Karuta. Chihaya was a tomboy and was good friends with Taichi at the time when they were, what was this? I guess it was 3 years. So she was supposed to be 12?
They were in
12?
Sixth grade. Yeah.
Okay. So they're in sixth grade. There was a mysterious reclusive transfer student that was getting bullied by everybody else because he was like a bumpkin, I guess. They say where he's from, but I didn't look it up.
Fukui or something.
Yeah, his name is Arata Wataya. He's getting bullied by everybody, but Chihaya stands up for him without kind of realizing she's doing this. Because her whole deal is she kind of just says stuff, the first thing that comes to her mind very loudly out loud without thinking.
Yeah, she's, yeah. So, I mean, because she's calling them out and then it makes them look bad, like, you know, saying, hey, you're bullying him, which most people maybe would try to do it more tactfully, but she's just blunt and.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they're like keeping track of the weird phrases he says. And she's like, why y'all being jerks? And they're like, oh,
yeah,
it's pretty funny.
Yeah, they're being so mean. Kids stink.
Yeah. Let's see. Still in the flashback, we cut to Arata on his paper route. He's really good at memorizing stuff, which makes him awesome at a paper route. He delivers the paper to Chihaya's place and finds her waiting outside in the rain for him to give her the paper. She gets the paper and then goes, shows it to her sister who's in bed. She's showing her a article about a beauty contest that her sister was in, but lost. So she's like in the background of a camera shot of the person who won. Chihaya is very proud of her sister, but Chitose, her sister, is annoyed that she lost and is like, go away. Back at school, we learn that the students are assigned a task to memorize 100 poems as like part of a school assignment, I guess. Chihaya couldn't do it, but Taichi and Arata both did. So they both qualify for the Karuta tournament because memorizing these poems is part of this game. So I guess it's a game that you play in middle school. Jihaya suddenly realizes that Arata was the one who delivered the paper to her and stands up and shouts it out in front of the whole class, just during class, because she just says whatever comes to her mind. This causes everyone to think that Arata is poor and needs money from a job. It turns out he is poor, but what?
Yeah, well, he's because he's I think legally he's not supposed to be working.
Oh, so yeah, yeah. Like, there's like
Jihaya, you blew his cover.
You blew his cover.
Something he did not want people to know.
She's very bad at sensitivity.
She's just not aware. Yeah. Not a thinker, that one.
Through all of this, Tai Chi is jealous that Jihaya keeps giving Arata attention. He sees them talking after school and then shoves them both down in the rain. Arata invites Jihaya over so he can clean up, and his place is a little run down, so he is he might need more money. It's just them in the house and Arata is shy. Okay. Eventually Arata asks why she was waiting for him for the paper this morning, and Jihaya explains that about her sister's beauty contest and says it's her dream to see her sister becomes Japan's next top model. Arata comments that it's not really a dream for you if it's something somebody else accomplishes. Jihaya gets defensive and asks Arata what his dream is, and he pulls out the Karuta cards. She recognizes them, and he insists that they play together. We learn the rules of the game. So I looked this up. They refer to the game in the show as Karuta, but Wikipedia says that Karuta is the type of cards, and the literal game they're playing is called Uta Garuta, or like a poetry Karuta. This distinction does not matter. I just looked this up. So the way the game's basically played is that there's 100 cards that have the second half of a poem printed on them. And then one non-player person will read out the full poem. So there's the first half of the poem and then there's the second half, which is printed on the card. They'll start with the first half and then they will read all the way through the whole thing. So the two players that are playing will look at all these cards and they will listen to the poem, and the first player to recognize the poem and tap the corresponding card with the rest of the poem on it wins the round. And whoever wins the most rounds wins the game, essentially. So you have to memorize 100 poems. Yes.
Yes. So I think in a typical match, it's like there's 50 out of the 100 cards in play. Yeah. So each player has 25 cards on their side, but they have to memorize all 50. And there can even be dead cards, which are like lines from the poems that aren't in this session, because they like not all 100 poems are in play. And then the point is to get to where you get rid of your cards on your side first. So there's things like if you pick the wrong card, then it's like a fault and they get to send you one of their cards. Or if you take a card from their side, then you get to send them one of your cards. So the point is to get rid of all the cards on your side, but there are like things that can add cards to your side if you like mess up and stuff like that. So it's very much speed and memorization are the two skills needed.
Yeah, they don't really go through all these rules. Like, they didn't really explain that much in this. I don't know if this is just like a common game that they assume the audience would know, or if we're just going to talk about those rules later.
Those things will come into play more.
Okay. Because right now this is pretty much all we got. Also, in this case, it's a recording. Like, they don't have another person to read the poems out, so it's like a tape recording. Because this is in the past where tape recordings popular. Arata and Jihaya start playing. Arata is super focused and he recognizes the poem at the first word and flings the card so hard it gets stuck in a wall. So he like throws it. Arata is crazy good at the game and Jihaya is overwhelmed. She vows to take at least one card. So she sees a card she recognizes that she knows the full poem for and waits for it. Eventually it comes up and she like full body dives for it. She gets the point and Arata is impressed. After the game, he thanks Jihaya for playing and he tells her that that where he's from in Fukui, this is a popular game, but nobody in Tokyo really plays it. So he has to play it by himself most of the time. He also notes that because it's a like Japanese specific game and that it's pretty complicated, if you can become the best in Japan, then you're basically the best player in the world. So that's his goal. Jihaya thinks that's pretty impressive. And then Arata comments that Chihaya's name is phonetically the same as the first half of one of the other poems in the thing. So he's like, you have a good name. And then Arata's mom comes home and they kind of get cut off.
Chihaya goes like, home. Is that your girlfriend?
Yes. She's like, he just randomly brought some girl home.
Yes.
Chihaya goes home thinking about Arata's dream with some inspiration as we cut to credits.
Ooh, first episode. What do you think?
And the first episode, we meet the cast, the main two boys, I'm assuming.
Uh-huh.
Taichi, yes. Who sucks.
Yes, and Arata, who's a nerd. Freaking is a little shit, Taichi.
Yes. Even like older, even high school Taichi ain't seeming super. I mean, I feel a little bad.
Like, uninvested in his life, it seems.
This is a trend. I'm noticing a trend with the main character women in these shows where it's like there are boys that are really into them, but they're kind of oblivious about it.
Yeah. Like,
very not intentionally oblivious, but like, more than the average person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly like it's better to be oblivious because you just want to be friends than like make it clear that you understand so that they then move forward with like trying to confess or something. So it's better to just kind of not notice and nothing will happen or nothing will change and you'll just stay friends kind of.
I mean, I get that as a tactic, but these seem like they genuinely don't understand.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Interesting trend.
That's how much they are in the friend zone.
Yeah.
You can't even fathom. Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they play in an adult, because the next episode is all flashback too. So,
they're
like, 12. So that doesn't really matter.
Yeah. It's kind of a strange start to a series where like what maybe you just start with the kids and then jump in time rather than like 5 minutes maybe of current day and then like a long ass flashback for like spanning episodes.
Interesting
start.
There's some stuff in here. I mean, I guess like at one point on the train, Taichi asks Chihaya if she has talked to Arata recently and she's like, no. So like they're obviously they had some weird falling out. There's going to be some drama in their reunion, right? So, like, that's going to be a piece of it. I assume we're building up to that. Mm. But this is interesting. This seems like not the best game of all time.
We played it.
We did play it.
Yeah, so you can buy. There's this company called Ugla Carta, I think, and that you can either, obviously this is a Japanese game, so it's like. Not very many options for translated versions of it, but so they have like the option where it can be like Western poems being read, or it can be like the English translation of the original poems. That like those are the two different types you can get. So I got like the original one just translated for my deck. So they're kind of pricey and not that many options. But watching this I was like, damn, we should have Carta in VR. That'd be cool. So few people would play it, but I'm like, I want that so badly.
The most niche game already niche product. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, man. Like it a lot. I'm not good, but I think it's a lot of fun. Mostly because it's, and I only got into it because of this anime, so I'm just a huge dork.
Yeah, we'll get more into the mechanics of it. Maybe this can win me over.
Yeah. You're not won over?
I mean, it was fun. I just don't know any of the, like, the tactics, right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It just seems like a game where you memorize poems and then point at stuff, right? Which is fine, I guess, but, like, I want to learn... Yeah. The tricks.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But we haven't gotten there yet. So we're still in the flashback. Episode 2 is called The Red That Is. We open on Child Chihaya trying to remember the poems. She gets to class and everybody ignores her because Taichi somehow convinced everybody to ignore her as part of his bullying campaign against Arata. Taichi tells her that they'll stop ignoring her if she stops talking to Arata, and Chihaya is like, wow. maybe you should just stop ignoring Arata because he's cool. He can beat everybody here at Karuta. Arata says that he'll beat Taichi without letting him take a single card because Taichi is also pretty competitive in this game right now. Taichi tells him that if he takes at least one card at the upcoming tournament that they're going to have at school, then he'll just ignore him till graduation. So if I get even one, I get to ignore you as much as I want. The OP plays, and then we immediately jump into the school tournament. Taichi's mom is there and is recording the match. So, like, the pressure is on for him, I guess.
Every single parent has the camcorder glued to their hand.
Oh, yeah. That used to be how it is, you know?
Yeah, I never had that, really.
You don't have a bunch of home movies of you playing a weird card game at school?
No, I'm assuming this is kind of like the equivalent of a spelling bee, where it's like a thing that they do, but it's not like in the curriculum. It's just like a fun thing to gauge interest for them to then pursue on their own time.
Yeah, we had a couple of those in high school, I remember doing. Or maybe in middle school. I don't quite remember.
Yeah. But
like, yeah, we would just like randomly do like a chess thing where you can like go for one period and play that or something.
Yep. Yep.
No parents showed up, though.
No. Well, I have I did the spelling bee. And
oh, you did?
My parents did show up, and they were the only parents to show up. And then I got okay. And then like the
did
first word is skunk. No, the first words were easy, and then they were getting more difficult, even though it was still like people's first word. So like I got like a really hard word, even though the first person to go had an easy word.
Oh,
I got out the first word. I was embarrassed, and then my parents followed me, so everyone knew it was my parents who were there, and I was so mortified.
What was the word? Do you remember?
I think it was some kind of medical term or something.
Oh my god.
But I was like, what? This is rigged. This is stupid.
Yeah, that's crazy. No, that's embarrassing for the people who put it on, honestly.
I was so embarrassed. I mean, it's really nice that both my parents separately came to like support me in this thing. They were the only ones to do it. My sister was sheltered, so I think we were just both like, oh, parents, yeah. like, she had our stepdad come to lunch in middle school for Thanksgiving or something, and he was the only parent, and she was too embarrassed, so she didn't sit with him at the lunch, and our childhood friend sat with him instead. Oh, my God.
That's pretty good.
Oh, man. Yeah. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, anyway, Taichi's mom showed up in a way that I think is going to be a net negative. He's doing pretty well, though, but he's annoyed that Chihaya isn't paying attention to him. Arata has his match because they're kind of in waves that they do these matches. And he's incredible, and he wins all the points and just owns his opponent. This makes Taichi a little nervous about Arata's win. Chihaya tells Arata that he's got this, but Arata points out that Chihaya took a card from him, so it's not like he's, you know, unbeatable. They go out in the hall to talk, and Taichi catches up with him and throws a soda at Arata for winning. He's like, on the house, man. But then Arata opens it, and it like sprays soda all over himself because you just opened a can someone threw at you.
Yeah, dumb.
He goes to clean up, and Chihaya tries to help him.
Yeah.
Taichi sees this and gets jealous, so he steals Arata's glasses because he is a boy with glasses.
A little shit. Because Taichi sucks.
Taichi sucks. Chihaya asks Taichi if he's seen Arata's glasses. He just lost them suddenly, and he's like, no. Arata thinks that Taichi definitely took them, but Chihaya is like, no, he's not. Like, Taichi might be a jerk, but he's not that mean, which she is wrong about. We also learned that Arata's eyesight is extremely bad. Like, he has to be inches away from a thing to see it. That being said, they just keep going with the tournament. It's the match between Taichi and Arata, but he still hasn't found his glasses. So he's like squinting real close at the cards so he can try to see him. And Taichi taunts him, despite the fact that he stole his glasses. That being said, even with his poor eyesight, Arata still starts dominating Taichi because he memorized all of the card positions, because we know he's very good at memorizing things. Taichi realizes what's going on and starts to switch the card positions around, which I think is probably against the rules.
Yes. I don't know what the rules for this elementary level, but like in actual matches, you're supposed to like raise your hand so that the speaker doesn't continue and like announce that you're moving cards so that the opponent has the chance to rememorize. You're not supposed to do that. Little freaking cheater.
We're going to find out. This is a very not regulation game, it turns out.
Yeah, it's just kids at a school. Yeah.
So Tai Chi is moving around cards, which means that Arata can't hit the right cards because he doesn't know where they are. So Tai Chi starts scoring some points using this method. Arata's frustrated and starts to cry when suddenly Chihaya shoves him out of the way from nowhere and offers to be his sub. The teacher thinks this is weird, but Chihaya says that he doesn't have his glasses, so he's at a disadvantage, and Tai Chi agrees to the substitution, so they just let him do it. Chihaya starts playing, and her basic strategy is to listen to the first syllable in the second half of the card, so you can actually like see which one it matches up with. After it's read, and then swatting a bunch of cards to throw Tai Chi off. I don't really understand what's happening here.
So, you, as long as you are getting the right card when you're making that gesture, when you make the move to swipe cards, as long as the right one is in the group of cards you hit, you can do that. I think, like, it's kind of frowned upon or, like, not very polite way to play, but it's in the rules. So like, as long as she's getting the right card, it doesn't matter how much of a mess she's making of the others. Although like, if you have to place them back where they were, I feel like that's hard to like put them all back where they were except for the card you got right.
Yeah, this feels like it's technically allowed, but it's kind of bad manners. But this specific game is so off the rails, nobody cares. But she does this and it starts looking like she also starts looking at Tai Chi to see if she can like see where he's pointing so she could just like grab a bunch of those cards before he can, because she's just trying to be as fast as possible.
It's Tai a strategy. Chi
starts losing, so he starts to like focus and try to get in on it, and finally it comes down to the last round. But Chihaya doesn't recognize any of the remaining cards. She suddenly remembers that one of them is the second half of the poem that her name phonetically is the first half of. She's like, oh, it's that one that Arata pointed out last episode. She tries to focus on that one, and it turns out that that's the one that gets read aloud, and she's able to tap it before the second half of the poem. So she gets the point and she wins.
Yay.
Yeah.
Suck it, Tai Chi.
Yeah, get wrecked, kid. Tai Chi is disappointed, but Chihaya says it was a fun game. Then she says that Arata will be a master one day, and Arata says that she will be a queen, which is the title of the best woman player, which is a wild exchange to have in episode two. She's going to be a queen.
Well, master is the male top player and queen is the top female player.
Those are not equal, though, because like master isn't even a gendered title. I mean, these are translations, but like, not king, it's master and queen.
I mean, I could imagine it being like, oh, maybe originally only men were competing in this and then they opened it up to women, so they wanted to be like very clear there's a difference.
That's right. Is this gonna be is this a gendered sport?
I think it just depends on the tournament, like for the official, like if you want to go against the reigning like queen or master, you would only be facing against that gender. But there's like team matches where you can play, like where it's like, okay, you have a team of five and like three of your teammates need to win their matches to win the collective team round. So that can be kind of an assortment of like different genders playing against each other. So yeah. And then there's like skill levels. This will be addressed later in the show, but like, this is kind of like how paintball works, like how much you play and how well you do like will propel you or like give you the points to be ranking up to a different level, and then you compete in against people with the same rank as you. So it's not like everyone's playing system against everyone.
Okay,
so that's kind of but this is all so unofficial at this point. We'll get into that stuff later.
Cool. Yeah. So that game ends. She'll be the queen one day. Chihaya calls her or calls home to tell her mom that she won the tournament, but her mom tells her that a talent scout has come for her sister. And she kind of just blows her off. her sister gets Shihaya. On the phone. I know her, like, her mom is like, oh, there's a talent scout here, which she is also like, oh, that's awesome. So
yeah, but this is, know, like, the first time she's excited about something for herself, and her family, I know, like, totally disregards.
She's poor, like, girl, totally gonna be a neglected kid. Her sister gets, yeah, on the phone, and Shihaya starts to tell her that she won a tournament, but her sister thinks that's lame and then, like, hangs up.
Yeah,
so it, mean to her,
like, well, her sister just wants her little sister worshiping her and doesn't want, yes, yeah, like, because Shihaya was so proud of herself and excited to share with them, and they just totally dismissed or, yeah, didn't even want to hear about her accomplishment or anything to do with her. It's like the household revolves around her sister's success as a model.
Yeah,
so that sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. Elsewhere in the bad family department, Taichi's mom tells him that he shouldn't spend his time on things he can't win and should focus on stuff he can win. So I guess stop playing this card game.
Mom sucks. Because,
yeah, another shitty parent.
And she's like, oh, and you lost to a girl too. I was like, it's fine. It's fine for him to lose to a girl.
No, he can't lose to a girl in the poetry memorizing card game.
Yeah, she was like, I can't even show this video I took to your father because you didn't win. And it's a lot of pressure.
Just edit it in post. Okay, it's fine. You can give your dad misinformation. He doesn't care.
Oh, man.
He'll never find out the truth. Yeah, just lie to him. Chihaya and Taichi run into each other in the hallway, and they hear some, like, thumping somewhere, so they go and investigate. They talk about Karuta on the way, and Chihaya tells Taichi that he shouldn't feel bad to losing in a fair game. They find out that the thumping is Arata practicing slapping cards, but he's not doing it with cards. He's just slapping the ground.
That's kind of lame.
He's doing, what's the thing you do in sports? Visualization or whatever?
Yeah.
Or like shadow boxing, but with card slapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's doing the game's already over. He didn't get
it.
Yeah, enough.
Well, he's probably frustrated, yeah, that he didn't get to finish it and win.
Chihaya remembers that they never found his glasses, and she goes to look for them because then he can play Karuta. She runs off, and Taichi hands the glasses to Arata. He first lies and says that he found them, but then he admits to stealing them. He asks him not to tell Chihaya, and Arata calls him a coward, but also agrees not to tell her. Outside, Chihaya climbed a tree. Oh, sorry.
Mm. Oh, I was going to say, I thought you would like the, I don't know what you call these, like the little thing where the fun animation where he calls him a coward, and then like a card like flies in with the word coward on it.
Oh, yeah.
Taichi, and he's like looking at it, and he's like, what?
Yeah, there's a good visual gag there, because Arata's whole thing is that he like flings cards too hard, and they're like, you know, you're basically throwing a playing card so it gets stuck in the walls and stuff. So when he says that, like, paper walls. It's not like plaster. I don't think you could do it with plaster still. You can mess things up with playing cards. But yeah, the visual gag is that he says that, and it's like he does that flick into Taichi. It's pretty good. It's probably the most cartoony thing that happens this episode. This is not like a particularly cartoony show.
No, but I like that even because sometimes it like, I feel like the quality will drop for those little gags, but I feel like at least the quality stayed the same for that. I mean, this is mostly like a fun memories flashback.
Yeah, it's like a little
once
goofy
we get into
kids.
It, there'll be more. Yeah.
Outside, Chihaya has climbed a tree looking for the glasses because I guess she thinks that like a bird picked it up or something.
Yeah, because they're shiny.
The boys come out to look for her. She hears them and she jumps out of the tree and lands on them as we cut to credits.
Yeah. Friendship.
If only.
I mean, I guess it's basically like establishing the stakes or emotional stakes of like this friendship they had as kids and like why it's still so important. Chihaya especially, right? Because clearly she's to this day super into Karuta and is grateful for being introduced to it and, you know, has a lot of friendship memories tied into it.
Yeah, I mean, we do like a good amount of work here, right? Because like we understand like Taichi is a guy who's being very heavily pressured by his parents, both, well, it sounds like his mom on behalf of his dad in order to succeed at everything. And despite being pretty good at everything, he can't get the girl he likes, Chihaya, to pay attention to him. So that bums him out. Arata is a bullied nerd who's good at memorizing stuff and probably doesn't have a lot of good social skills, but he's super into this card game. And likes hanging out with Chihaya because she also likes this card game. Apparently they have some falling out coming in the future. Not sure what's up with that. I guess we'll get more of that next episode, maybe. And then Chihaya, who has very little going on in her life until this card game, which she's going to become obsessed with, as her family basically ignores her. And her sister outshines her at everything.
Yeah, I mean, like we've seen where, like, she as she sees things, she says them. Like, she just seems to, she, like, fixates on a singular thing. Like how she was with her sister. Now it's Karda. But I guess, I mean, for what it sounds like in middle school, at least she was like branching out a little bit and doing like track and field to meet other people.
I can't tell if this is going to be a regression because she seems way more closed off in high school in the, you know, 5 minutes we get of her in high school.
It'll be just like Hatoko where it's like, girl, there is more to life than Angelic Layer. There is more to life than Karda. Like, you can take it seriously, but also don't forget.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But yeah, so far compared to the other shows, this is does not seem like it's going to be super romance based. The romance also seems like it's going to be Tai Chi's very into her, and she is very not interested in engaging in romance in any way. I'm assuming Arata will probably also be interested in her. And she will similarly not be so very interested.
We'll see. I guess it's mostly going to be about a card game. Yeah, it's, well, it's like card games and like the bonds and friendship and teamwork. And then the romance is very lightly peppered in, at least from what is covered in the shows. I'm assuming near the conclusion of the series that it becomes more like a that comes to a head. But yeah, it's very much, I don't know, this game bringing people together kind of, because like
it's gonna be Arata, like an Angelic plays Layer.
Maybe, I mean,
that's the also, sports anime we got.
Yeah, that's true, but that's like popular, and this is like a thing that maybe was more popular like back in the day, but now in this new age of technology and stuff, people aren't as interested. So it's like a much smaller tight-knit community. So like Arata coming from a more rural area, that's a thing they did a lot there, but here in the big city of Tokyo, like it's not that common of a thing. So the people who are into it, it's like exciting to meet them because it's not as often that you find them. Or something along those lines. So yeah, it's like, because it can be intended for women and not be super fixated on the romance elements and still be interesting.
I wasn't saying that. I'm just saying where that's the card game is going to be the focus. I mean, you already said this. It's like a sports anime more kind of thing, which will be interesting, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Not as cartoony as Skip Beat.
No.
I don't think we're going to get a lot of visual gags.
Skip Beat is very, like humor is so infused with Skip Beat and Kyoko. And Chihaya Furu is just a lot more, like, competitive, like, getting better training kind of things like that rather than humor.
I don't quite have the tone yet of this show
from
these episodes,
because that's when they're kids, so the tone's gonna be a little bit different when they're
kids. Yeah,
yep. So we'll see. Well, I know you'll see. But so those are our first two episodes of Chihaya Furu, and yay, new series. I guess I'm trying to think, because this is not as like the game is happening. It's like, ooh, every step of like, ooh, they made this move, they made that move. Like, we haven't gotten to that point, so I don't know what the coverage is going to look like as far as like recapping it
for when we get to that point. I'm fascinated to see how they present this game, like, because I don't even have an analog of like what other game this would be similar to, because I'm usually, you know, with most sports anime, I've heard of the sport before, so I like, you know, even if it's something like water polo or whatever, right? Like, I know, I understand the basic rules of it. This is like totally a different thing. I don't even know how you would cover this. Like, is it really going to be like move per move? Like, are you going to have episodes where one game takes place?
Yeah, it's not like, they have a commentator for official matches being like,
yeah, it just seems like it's going to be kind of tough. But so I'm interested to see what they do for that, especially for this.
And how you'll in turn.
Like how that will, what the experience will be of watching this.
We'll find out.
So I'm interested in this, this bizarre card game.
I love it. I'm not very good at it, but I really like it. But you think it's hard to get people to play with you there. Just imagine you're here and your whole family is lazy and they don't want to memorize anything. And you're like, please, please, well, play with me.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with this card game is that, like, in order to be good at it, you would have to memorize the first and second half of all of these poems. But, like, that's 100 poems for a card game. It's like, not a casual endeavor.
I mean, the only way I've done it is that it's more like, okay, I just, as soon as I hear the actual card being read, look for it or have it memorized versus like.
Yeah, I mean, that's what when we played, knowing, I was just waiting for the part where they read what's on the card and then just trying to pick it out there. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't fly in competitive gameplay is what I'm saying.
Yes.
We could never be competitive.
I know. Oh, man. Well, yeah, now I just want to play this, so I have no one to play it with. I'll just be like Arda and play by myself. Because on Spotify, I have it where I can shuffle the poems being read.
So I could. You can just you can just slap training. The ground. You can shadow box like Arada's doing at the end. You don't even need the cards. Just start slapping the desk. Oh,
man. No. Oh, also, they play on tatami mats and the cards are like a, like thick. They're like not playing card material. They're thicker. So like I don't really have optimal playing conditions for how it would, where it's like the slidey, it's more like just slap on it rather than like swish
gesture. You can't do the movement.
Let's see, but so that's
that. Bad adults again, another show with shitty parents.
We gotta find one where like the parents, well, I guess Kimi Nitsudoke had
her parents were cool.
There's just not very many.
So I think that covers the first two episodes.
So now we'll switch to gears and go into our recommendations, where we just, you know, obviously if you're listening to this, you have a very specific interest in anime, and you know there's a lot of like overlapping, like, oh, if you like anime, a lot of times you like games or this or that. And so I think it's fun to just share like things that we like, and I know at least one person is rolling with these recommendations and checking them out, so that's cool, that person being Joe's mom. But still,
is she doing the recommendations?
You said she started watching something I had recommended.
I should do that. She's not taking my recommendations.
No, that's because clearly
she's not doing my show.
I have the better taste. Read your book about gambling.
I tried to give it to her. I got close to being able to give her the gambling machine book. I recommended a book about gambling machines called Addiction by Design. Incredible book. You should read that book. It's not my recommendation because I recommended it earlier. Go back to go back to Angelic Lair and skip to the recommendation sections of all those episodes if you want to hear all of our recommendations. We should probably put them somewhere. I don't know if we've done that yet. Probably not.
No. Well, I had been, but I've gotten lazy. But I should update. Well, once more people freaking listen to us, then that'll like justify the effort of me going through and listing those somewhere other than in the show notes.
I see.
Because we have them linked in the episode description at the very least.
So what are you recommending to us, Sarah?
Mixing it up, I'm gonna be recommending a app or store. I'm not sure how to best describe what it is exactly, but I'm gonna recommend ThredUp, which is a site where people will send them their old clothes. You know, obviously they have to be in like good condition and still have tags and stuff. But they send them and then they will, you know, like take photos and present them for repurchase by people using the app. And then you'll get like a cut of it from your stuff being sold. But it's really good because, I don't know, fast fashion is like a big thing. It's terrible for the planet and stuff. Like the amount of water that goes into making a pair of jeans is wild. But so this is like a good way to like reuse clothing, like, you know, so one man's trash is another man's treasure kind of thing. So a lot of my clothes I've gotten from there, and they've recently improved like the, because you can like upload a photo and it'll like find similar looking items to suggest for you. It's constantly getting new things. And so like, or it could be something really old that you can never purchase from a store. And it's all like very well priced, like, and they have a ton of sales. And if you buy from them, then you like get points that can then be like redeemed for $5, $10 coupons or free shipping and stuff like that. The sad thing is they don't have a men's section. They have women's and then they have boys and girls, like children. But they have like, you know, dresses, pants, tops, accessories. And then they, you know, you can search by like brand. So like, oh, Anthropology, I love their stuff. And look through everything from that brand that they have on there and by your size and stuff. So yeah, if you're looking to like get new clothes, but want to get something at a good price and, you know, like not impacting the planet, then I recommend using ThredUp. It's an app that you can find on both Google Play and Apple's App Store. Like,
this is almost an ad read.
Oh yeah, I get. Yeah, I just,
it's like the specific product.
I mean, it's my recommendation. It's fine.
You could just like say, "Nah, it's good." No, it was just good.
Yeah.
Just
like,
find it in stores today. They should. No, pay
well,
us.
I mean, maybe. I really like it. I just got a new package from them. Because I have been needing like little camis to wear, so that I can wear like a long sleeve, but not have to like button it up all the way. It's just like easy to find, like it delivers pretty quickly. I really, really like it. Then you can like find really, you know, it's like thrift shopping, but online. So it's, you know, more and that maybe higher standards than maybe your local thrift shop. But yeah, I really like it. Cool. So yeah, that's that's that. How about you, Joe? What are you going to recommend today?
I'm going to recommend a movie. I'm going to recommend the 1981 Hungarian animated fantasy adventure film, Son of the White Mare. Did I recommend this last time?
I have never heard of this. No, you did not recommend this last time.
Good, because this movie is very weird. So this is a animated movie. It's fairly famous amongst, like, animation circles is what I mean, because it like won some awards and things
enthusiasts
like that.
It's
like
a, or, yes, yeah,
yes, and it also had a 4K restoration in 2019, which is cool because this is a movie that is for me really about like spectacle. So it is about, this is some like Hungarian legend or like a combination of several like mythological legendary kind of stories. About some gods that have these sons, then there are wives for the sons, and then they unleash a bunch of demons or dragons and things kind of go bad. It's the plot of the movie really isn't that important. I mean, on one hand, it's fairly straightforward. It's like, oh, we got everything gone bad in the kingdom, and we have to restore balance by defeating these evil things and freeing these women, et cetera, et cetera. The thing that's interesting about this movie is that the visuals are striking. You could basically take any shot of this, and it would be like a pretty good screensaver or background because it just like looks really great. A lot of interesting visual stuff going on because they'll call the bad guys dragons, but then it turns out they are these weird things. Like sometimes they're these big golems. Sometimes they are, one of them is just like a literal tank with a bunch of guns. One of them is like a weird multi-headed creature that it's difficult to even tell what it is. So it's very fascinating in terms of the like visual imagery, how stuff is drawn, how stuff moves around. It's
they
very
sound like
cool.
Persona bosses or something.
Yeah, they're a little weird.
Crazy
you know,
they
it's
look.
Like a little weirdo stuff going on in it. You know, it's like that kind of fantasy feel or like an old time myth feel. So some of it's a little weird. But I think that can kind of contribute to the overall feeling of this movie, which is very interesting. So I would check it out. Distribution wise, you can find this in places.
Well, if they just had the redo, it's got to be somewhere.
I think you can rent it. They posted it on Vimeo. I don't think it's translated though. But like, I think they have an official post of it there. So you can go and look at some of the visuals like for free on Vimeo. If you are interested. Yeah. It's cool.
A taste of what our recommendations can entail. I don't know. I feel like at some point I've been like, I'm just going to recommend pets. It's like a thing.
Recommend
to
my dog to you.
No, just pets in general. I don't know. I've done like a band before. It can just be anything that others can enjoy as well.
Yeah, sure. It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
That's right. It is our podcast. So.
And speaking of which, if you had a good time, you should rate us 5 stars out of 5 stars on your podcast platform, whatever you're listening to right now. Go to it and do this. Also, leave a comment. If you can leave a comment, we like that. It's good for discoverability. This is our first episode of a new show. So hopefully we have some new people jumping on. Maybe this is a good time to tell people to jump on. It also means we just finished up another show. So if you have any friends or anybody who think might be interested in Skip Beat, they can listen to our coverage of Skip Beat. We've also covered some other shows. We covered Kimi no Todoke, which has had its season 3 come out earlier this year. We covered Angelic Lair, which is a show that's not streaming anywhere, but you know, maybe that's like all
luck.
The more reason why you should watch it, right? What are they hiding from you? What do they not want you to see? please recommend us with that. You can also, if you have any questions or comments you want to leave about the show or about the podcast, you can email us at shoujopod@gmail.com. So
so if you're planning on making Carta into a VR video game, let us know at that email, because I am so down to promote where I can. I want to play fictional thing that will never exist so badly. Or like at least a phone. I don't know. Yeah, it's tough. But I guess because I like, I don't know what it is. It's
memorizing.
Like speed and, yeah. Well, it's like a thing. It's not based off. Well, some scenarios can come down to luck, but I don't know. It's like memorization's a good thing to work on, and anyone can play it. You know. I just like it. It's a sport I don't have to go outside for.
Oh, it's not a particularly athletic sport is what you're saying.
You saw how sweaty they got playing it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see why you like this. Marbles or something.
I guess, I don't know. Volleyball is indoors.
That's indoors. It is also pretty, you do got to jump around though. How are your knees?
Not good. I'm old. I like fell down in a parking lot like a week ago so hard. Like,
uh-oh.
So hard. I had like my hands are scuffed up and my hand was all bruised. I was like, damn, like I could have busted a hip at my age. Like,
you're not that old, but yeah.
Luckily, I mean, my phone case is kind of scuffed up, but my phone is it because I like had my phone in my hand and I like fell and it was like like scraping as I was falling.
Oh,
so at least it kind of protected my right hand from getting too bad.
Could have been a disaster. Yeah, no, that's good.
I know.
Well, it's bad.
I still went into Barnes and Noble. Didn't stop me. I was hobbling around in the bookstore.
I still went shopping. Nothing could prevent me from my mission.
No, that's right.
I would have just gone home. I'd just been like, that's it. I'm done for today. It's over.
Nope. I was determined. I'd already walked out of my car. It was go time. But yeah. So right, that's the pod.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week with two more episodes.
Yep. Welcome, new listeners. Yeah, we're happy to have you. And we'll you'll hear from us next week, every Wednesday. So till then,
what did we learn? What did we learn this episode? Don't steal someone's. Don't steal someone's glasses.
Be interested in your child, all your children.
Pay attention to your
kids.
Don't
just favor one.
Don't just favor one just because she's winning beauty contests. Maybe. You're not going to impress the girl by stealing some other kid's glasses. That just isn't going to do it. She's probably just never going to be into you. You should just give up.
Yeah, don't tell her she looks like a boy. That's also not gonna. Also, you're 12, so like,
none of this matters. You're 12. Who cares? If someone asks if you have a girlfriend, don't just like immediately be super dismissive of her. That's not great. Yeah. Even if that's true, it like reflects poorly on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You shouldn't say that out loud. You should at least be like, oh, you know, I'm still kind of like new, so I'm like, you know, don't immediately
not like
be like
girlfriend. Get in between you and Carda. Like.
Yeah, why even date somebody? Play this weird card game.
Yeah, that's right. Oh,
man. Yeah. All right. Start playing weird card games.
Okay, on that note. Bye-bye.
Bye.